These are the PCORI methodology standards. This category is about standards for preventing and handling missing data. It was prepared by and will be presented by Dr. Tanjing Li from the Department of Epidemiology.
Hello, this is Tanjing Li. Now let's talk about what are missing data.
Missing data refer to unrecorded values, which, if recorded, would be meaningful for analysis and interpretation of a study. The form of missingness could occur at the unit level or at the item level. The unit level missingness or non-response refers to the complete absence of a measurement on a study participant. So, for example, a patient skipped a follow-up visit or dropped out of the study completely. Then you will have unit-level missingness. Item-level missingness or non-response refers to the absence of answers to specific questions on a data collection form or a measurement tool. For example, a survey participant skipped sensitive questions or questions he or she did not understand on a form. Missing data can occur in any type of patient-centered outcomes research. For example, in randomized controlled trials, in observational studies, and it can occur in any type of data sources. For example, whether the data are drawn from electronic medical health records, or whether the study is prospective or retrospective in data collection. Many of the examples we will show you in this lecture were drawn from randomized controlled trials because methods for preventing, handling, and reporting missing data are better developed for randomized controlled trials than for other types of study designs. Yet, the principles and approaches can be applied regardless of study design.
How big is the problem? How much missing data we have? Dr. Sharfstein has done a study in which he reviewed all randomized controlled trials reporting 5 major patient-reported outcomes. Again, here we're interested in patients' reported outcomes, such as SF-36, SF-12, Patient Health Questionnaire 9, Kansas City Cardiomyopic Questionnaire. And these trials were published in New England Journal of Medicine, JAMA, Lancet, BMJ, and PLOS ONE. So these are the 5 highly rated or has the highest impact factor general medical journals. And these trials were published between January the 1st, 2008 to March the 14th, 2015. So he identified 91 randomized controlled trials. And here is a summary of the percentages of missing data. About 84% of trials reporting percentages of missing greater than 10% on one of these major patient-reported outcomes. 46% of the trials have greater than 20% of missing outcome data, and 23% of the trials have greater than 30% of missing data. This is probably an optimistic representation of the percentages of missing data across the universe of clinical trials with patient-reported outcomes published in the medical journal. So missing data occur frequently, and it's a problem. What are the problems caused by missing data? First of all, missing data can bias your inference. When missing data are related to an intervention or exposure, as well as to the outcome of interest, inferences about treatment effects or association may suffer from bias introduced by non-random selection of data into the analysis. Most likely, missing data do not occur randomly. What does it mean? For example, if patients experiencing adverse events are more likely to cease participating in a study and that adverse events occur more frequent with the new treatment than the standard of care, then inappropriately accounting for the missing data may lead to biased inference of the comparative effectiveness of the two treatments. In other words, the study results may be biased by differential dropout between the comparison groups. Also, missing data may decrease statistical power. What it means is that even if missing data occur completely at random, you will end up with a smaller sample size for joint inference. That will decrease your sample size and decrease the statistical power to detect any difference. Missing data may also result in reduced generalizability. So let's first take a look at missing data problems in randomized controlled trials. In randomized controlled trials, randomization balances the distributions of known and unknown characteristics among treatment and comparison groups prior to study treatment. The primary benefit from randomizing participants into treatment and control groups comes from the balanced baseline characteristics. However, the baseline comparability cannot be assured when data are missing. And unfortunately, any statistical approaches to statistical analysis for missing data involve untestable assumptions. And omitting participant data from the analysis renders the randomized trial to an observational study.
What are some of the special challenges for patient-centered outcomes observational research? Well, for observational studies, missing or incomplete confounder measure is one of the major problems. For example, tobacco use, over-the-counter medications, and body mass index are some of the leading confounders for many health outcomes. However, these variables are poorly recorded in administrative data sets or in electronic medical health records. So when these data are not recorded, this missing confounder information is not available from these data sources, and the inference made without fully accounting for these confounding variables can be misleading. Secondly, it is very difficult to interpret missing data in secondary data analysis. Thus, absence of a specific symptom in patient registries and electronic health records indicate that the symptom was not present or that the physician just did not actively inquire about or document the symptom. Let me give you one example. If your doctor did not ask you whether you had stopped taking statin over the past week, does it mean that you did not take any statin, or just because they did not ask you? And lastly, the follow-up time points are not standardized. In other words, when you go to see your healthcare provider, providing information to your electronic health records, that only occurs when you actually go to the clinic rather than on a standardized follow-up schedule. In summary, a lot of the observational patient-centered outcomes research relies on data sources, and in general, they are more susceptible to bias and confounding.
When do missing data occur? Missing data occur for many reasons. For example, in research studies, patients could withdraw from follow-up due to inability to tolerate the intervention or lack of efficacy. Or it could be difficulty to attend clinical appointments or to complete medical evaluations. For example, for patients with low vision, if they cannot drive, then it's really difficult to follow up with the research study schedule and to attend clinical appointments. Patients could also withdraw their consent or move out of the area. So we call these type of participant withdrawal dropouts. There could also be incomplete responses on the form or at the item level. For example, missing information on income. If there's a question about income, it's likely that there will be missing data because people don't feel comfortable answering that question. Sometimes missing values are caused by researchers. For example, when data collection is done improperly or mistakes are made in handling of tissue samples.
I would like to distinguish treatment discontinuation from participant dropout. As I said in the previous slide, participants may drop out of a study for various reasons, one of which could be treatment discontinuation. Participants in a clinical trial may discontinue study treatment because of adverse events and/or lack of efficacy. However, data collection should continue. I will come back to this point of how to continue collecting data in patients who discontinue their treatment and who are still part of the study.
Let's look at one example, and this example shows you the extent of missing data problem in a randomized controlled trial oncotyping for bipolar depression. In this example, 542 participants were randomized to three treatment groups. However, only 60% of the randomized participants completed the study, and some of them discontinued the treatment, lost to follow-up because of adverse event, because of protocol non-compliance, or they withdrew their informed consent, or because of lack of efficacy. So there are multiple reasons for participants' dropout. And in conducting the study, there are strategies we could use to minimize the amount of missing data. And in reporting the results and in analyzing the data, you have to use valid methods to handle them. Here is another example on the coronary drug project, and the outcome is 5-year mortality. This is a randomized multicenter double-blind placebo-controlled trial for treatment of coronary heart disease. If we look at the table, and there are two sets of numbers highlighted, and they're stratified by the compliance. So for patients who compliant to less than 80% of the treatment, the death rate under the treatment group is almost 25%. And the death rate under the placebo group is about 28%. Whereas if you look at the same death rate in those patients who comply to the treatment, where the compliance is greater than or equal to 80%, the death rate is much lower, about 15% in both arms. So the bottom line here is that compliers do better regardless of the treatment. So in other words, if all the missing data are missing at random, and then perhaps we just have a power issue. However, in most of the randomized controlled trials, as well as observational studies, the missingness or the reasons for missing are usually related both to the treatment as well as the outcome. In other words, there are differential reasons for losses to follow up, and that's very problematic. Here is another example on chronic pain trials. So missing data are really common in chronic pain trials, with the dropout rates ranges from 20% to 50%. Think of it, if 50% of the participants are lost in a study, and then your inference can flip the direction, basically, can go to the other direction. If all the 50% who lost up are either shows lack of efficacy or are the people who are experiencing the adverse events. The reasons for dropouts are usually treatment related. And for the active treatment group, people are experiencing adverse events. For the people in the placebo group, it's usually because of lack of effect. What about missing data due to incomplete responses? Several studies have shown that higher item non-response rate are usually observed for sensitive questions, such as drug use, sexual behaviors, voting, and income. And this is a table showing you the item non-response rates for the National Survey of Family Growth Cycle 6 Female Questionnaire by item. So as you can see, from the top of the table to the bottom of the table, the item response rate ranges from 8% for total household income to only about less than 1% for the highest grade completed. So the income is very sensitive, so as the lifetime male sexual partners, while people find that grade or the age of the first menstrual period less sensitive. For patient-centered outcomes research, if you're collecting data prospectively, even when patients come back for the follow-up visit, you may still have missing data problem at the item level.
As a recap, missing data occur frequently in any type of patient-centered outcomes research. The reasons for missingness are multifold. They are a threat to the validity of findings because they could bias the inference, decrease statistical power, and reduce generalizability. In general, missing data are more problematic in observational studies and in studies using data not conventionally collected for research purposes than in randomized controlled trials.